Good evening and greetings to all of you, the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I consider it as my privilege to be here to have fellowship and also spend time in the presence of the Lord. As it is announced, I'm Mathubuti, a very classical Malayali name, and came to the Lord in 1979. I went to study God's Word in Bethany Bible School in 1988. Then went to Mangalore to continue my studies. After that, I joined the Nation Christian Academy in 1992, where Dr. Alexander Gurian was my academic dean. And I have been taught as my teacher. I am happy to be here this evening with that beloved family. And also, been married, graduated in 1995 and joined with Asian Christian Academy to work in 1995, and married in 1996, and Dr. Alexander Gurian solemnized our marriage. And we are blessed with two children after 5 years of our marriage. And first son completed his graduation, came to do his MS in Texas A&M. For the last 2 months, maybe less than 2 months, he is continuing his master's in chemical engineering. We may please pray for him. And we have another daughter. Her name is Sarah. Our son's name is Samuel. We call him Sarah. We have a daughter called Sarah, and she is pursuing her degree in Bangalore. And my wife's name is Shani. That's our family. So in 1997, we have joined with an assembly in Bangalore. And I'm presently ministering as an elder and evangelist to that assembly. And also minister God's word in whichever capacity that the Lord uses, goes around and teach God's word to young people in whichever way that the Lord gives the opportunity. This brought us, and we will appreciate you praying for our assembly in Bangalore. It's comprised of young people who come for studies and also for work. And we are gathering in a rented place. We have purchased a land, and we are also prayerfully waiting for the Lord to lead us to build a church hall. And I visited U.S. in 2014, 10 years back. And a couple of you may be remembering me. I have a very poor memory. So sorry if I don't collect it. Thank the oversight and the assembly for giving me this privilege to come here and share from God's word. Would love to share a few thoughts from a very familiar epistle, the epistle of Philippians, one of my favorite epistles. Epistle of Philippians. And it's very important and favorite for me because this letter tells us why are we here and what's the purpose for which we are here. We are here to do something. And what is that we're supposed to be doing? That's what the epistle of Philippians is saying. It's a familiar epistle for all of us. I would love to read maybe the couple of verses, the first 6, 7 verses. I may not expose all those things. And I may share a few things from there. Philippians chapter 1, from 1 to verse 1 to 8. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are also partakers with me of grace, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. As we know, this is one of the prison epistles of Apostle Paul while he was in in the Roman prison, as we see him in Acts chapter 28, where he was in the house arrest, the first imprisonment of Rome. And he writes this letter with a lot of cherishing memories. And he's now in prison, in chains, probably in house arrest. He remembers about one of his incidents where he was in prison, earlier time, that is in Philippi. We read about his arrival in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. There we see that Apostle Paul, in his missionary journey, was guided by the Holy Spirit after receiving the call to move to another continent, from Asian continent to move to another continent. He happened to be coming to Philippi. We know that Philippi is one of the church that has been started in the different continent in Europe. And well, when he came, he didn't find sufficient people over there. So he went to the riverside and he met a group of people. And there was one lady, we read that Lydia, and we read over there, I don't have the time to draw your attention, I'm sure that you are familiar with that passage, where he went and shared the gospel. There we read that God has opened the heart of Lydia. God has opened the heart of Lydia, and Lydia accepted the Lord. Later in that verse, we read that Lydia has opened her house. And when the Lord opened her heart, later she said, "Please, men of God, come to my home." And she opened her house. And later, we understand that there is a church established, and there was some imprisonment and things like that that has happened to Paul. We read over there. Then later, a church is established. And this church, regarding this church, we read in chapter 4 of Philippians, what they have done. And we read that they have opened their purse for the missionary. So that is the important nature of the church that we see for Philippi, in the church at Philippi. And Paul, now being in prison, he has received a gift sent by the Philippian believers, by Epaphroditus, and he brought the gift over there, and he was bound there to minister to Paul. But what happened, you know, instead of ministering Paul, he happened to be falling sick, and Paul had to minister to him. And now when he got healed, and Paul is sending him back to Philippi, and with him he sends a thank you note, and that is what the Philippian letter is. So he is writing a thank you note for the gift that they have given. And he mentions about Philippians in chapter 4 that they were fervent in giving and supporting and helping Paul in his ministry more than anyone else. This is the one church that has involved in giving and taking and in his financial matters. So they have opened their purse. That's why I said God has opened the heart of Lydia. Lydia has opened her house. A church is established, and the church that established, it has opened its purse for the missions. And that is the thrilling thing for Paul to write this letter. And he is writing a thank you note to them. In that thank you note, he mentions about a very important thing here in this passage. So I would love to bring to your attention about what made him to give thanks to God. And what is that you and me are supposed to be involving in. And this letter is talking about many of the things that you and me can do, as the way that is mentioned here. And you know, it's a very very important ideal church, that we understand that it has got a very good administrative system, and it is patterns were very good. And Paul, in the first three verses, he talks about the important aspects related to the greetings, and Eastern Oriental greeting is given. Then from verse 3 onwards, he says that I give thanks to God for the Christian virtues, and he explains about all those Christian virtues there. Then he says, I always remember to give thanks to God for your partnership in the gospel. Partnership in the gospel. So verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So the Philippian believers are very dear believers for Paul. And Paul has always been wanting to thank God, even in his chains, in the imprisonment, something that cherishes him, that always reminds him, that makes him to be joyful, is that their partnership in the gospel. It is written fellowship, partnership. So the word that is used is a business thing, that a joint venture is made. where the partners come together and they discuss about the progress of the business and they decide what to do. And here, Paul is talking about the same term in relation to the gospel presentation. And we read in 1 Corinthians that the ministry of the gospel is a joint venture always. And we see that Paul says, somebody else plants, someone else waters, and somebody else gives growth. So it's a co-worker with God. Okay, and Paul, Apollos, and God together involves in this work of evangelism. And evangelism is not just sharing the gospel. What is evangelism? It's mentioned by Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 28, where he says, go and make disciples. So disciple making is evangelism. That is what the design. It's in fact not disciple making. Disciple making disciples to be made. So it should be a ministry which makes disciples, and those disciples make disciples. So we need disciple making disciples. That is what the Christian ministry is. That's what the Christian discipleship is. So he says it's a joint venture. It's nobody's it's not done by any single person. It's done by group of people. It's partnership. So you and me are involved in the ministry of the partnership. Philippine believers, I thank God because you are also a good partner of the gospel. And he also uses another word. The same word is used in the same verse that I read in verse 7 also. We have the same thing. Because you all are partakers with me of the same grace. You are partner to gospel. And you are also partner to the grace. Why do we need grace? The ministry of the gospel is done by grace, by the enablement of grace. In Corinthians, Paul, when he talks about, he says that, I'm inadequate. I'm not able to do anything. But my adequacy comes from God, from Christ, from his grace. So grace is what that enables me to be in the ministry. And you and me are not able to do it by ourselves. There is no do it ourselves manual for gospel. It is do it by the enablement of the grace of God. And Paul says, if I am what I am, it's by not my learning from Gamaliel, not from my background of the history or maybe the tradition's legacy, not my ability or anything that I have received. It's by grace. It's by grace. What am I now is by grace. It's the enabling power of God. My adequacy comes from grace. It's none of our traditions, so none of our legacy, none of our learning, none of our ability, none of our skill. It's by grace, by the enabling of grace of God that you and me are able to live and even do things for God. So Paul says, I do everything by grace, and what I am is by grace. And you also have the same partnership with the grace that which I have. And what am I doing? I do the partnership in ministry. So you have the adequacy, enablement, and you have the business. And as I do this business of partnering the gospel, you can also do the work of partnering the gospel. So he encourages them saying that, I thank the Lord for the business that God has entrusted to us. That is to become the partner of the gospel. Partner of the gospel. Why are we here in this part of the country? By this time here, it's because you and me need to be the partners of the gospel. We have a participation in the gospel. And the enablement and the adequacy comes from the same grace which Paul had, the partnership. Paul received that grace. And even when he was sick, he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, it's better I would wish to get those things to be removed. But the Lord said, let it be there. I will give you grace. And he does evangelism, he does live, and he does everything by grace. And that's what it made Paul to be effective. And Paul here says, the same grace, you have become the partner. You also have the partnership in the grace. The same enablement that Paul had is the same thing that is given to us. So you and me can do the ministry of partnership in the gospel. And the book of Philippians is saying about what are the various ways by which you and me can be a partner in the gospel. How can we be a partner in the gospel? Three of the things that I would love to draw to your attention from chapter 1. What that I can do as a partner in the gospel.
The purpose for which you and me are here is to be a partner of the gospel. And what enables me to do that business of being a partner of the gospel? The grace, the same grace that Apostle Paul received. And that's the grace that gives the adequacy for us to do. Three things I just would love to draw your attention from this chapter. And if you read the book of Philippians, all the four chapters talks about numerous ways by which you and me can be the partner of the gospel. How can I be a partner? Read this epistle that will help you. Three things I just would love to draw your attention. The first thing Paul says, you can be a partner by preaching the gospel. The next verse, if you come, he says that the Philippian believers were appreciated for preaching gospel. The context over here is that by knowing that Paul is in the prison, some people started preaching the gospel in every nook and corner with a wrong intention, with a wrong motive. What is the purpose? If they preach the gospel, the trouble for Paul at the prison will be more. Beatings will be more. Because you are a troublemaker and you are instigating people and they are, you know, preaching in every nook and corner, not with a sincere motive. So I preach gospel so that Paul will get two extra beatings. The other group of people, they said, Paul is in prison. If Paul is not able to preach the gospel outside, who will preach? I have to preach. So they also went with preaching the gospel with sincere motive. Okay. And Paul says, whether it is with a sincere motive or not with a sincere motive, Christ is preached. So I'm happy. So the one way of being a partner of the gospel is to be a sincere propagator, a preacher of the gospel. Preacher of the gospel. And you may think that, okay, we have heard it, preaching the gospel. And we struggle with it. We don't know how to use 9 points, 3 points, 5 points, 11 points to preach the gospel. And if we had known it, we would have done it. Then why are you saying it again? Preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel has come to a point in which we live today that we have made the gospel to be very complicated. We thought that, okay, it has to be preached with all these things and all these points are there. You know, that's not the presentation of the gospel. Gospel should be presented as a very, very simple thing. And that's a simple presentation of the gospel is one of the partnering of the gospel. If you see the example from John chapter 9, where we see about a blind man. There is an example for preaching the gospel. A blind man, he got healed. And it has become an issue. People started asking him, are you the same person or a different person? He said, I am the same person. They, even after getting the answer, they went to their parents and asked, is he the same person? They said, he is the same person. What happened? He said, to ask him. And, you know, they don't want to be cast out of the synagogue. So they said, ask him. They went to him and asked him, said, are you the same person? What happened to you? He said, I'm the same person. And a man called Jesus, he healed me. They said, Jesus is a sinner. What are you saying? And how did he respond? I don't know whether he is a sinner or not. I don't know how much theology. I don't know any of those facts. But I know one thing. I was a sinner. I was a blind man. Now I see. I don't know many of the philosophies. If you ask me philosophy, I don't know philosophy. If you ask me theology, I don't know theology. I'm not saying that you need to be ignorant of theology and philosophy. That's not what I'm saying. If I don't know the details, I don't need to worry about it. But I know one thing. I was a blind man. But now I'll see. He didn't stop it there. Again, they confronted him. He said, you also want to become his disciple. You read that chapter 9. He progressed his presentation. He said, do you want to become his disciple? And they said, no, he is a sinner. How can you? We are the disciples of Abraham. And we are the disciples of the top quality people here, the leaders. But you are saying that no matter whatever happens, you want to become his disciple? That's all the gospel. I was a sinner. And I got saved. I didn't have peace. I have peace. I was blind man. Now I see. You also want to become his disciple? That's all the gospel is. That's all we need to say about gospel. Let's not complicate the gospel. Make it very clear to people. Very simple to people. That will attract. Because the Holy Spirit will convict the way. Today, gospel is presented in such a way that it becomes attractive and capturing the minds of people. Never been told what's supposed to be told. And, you know, people try to be nice and never been converted. And the gospel should be presented as, I was a sinner. You too. And I got saved. Jesus died for me. And I was sinner. I got solution for my sin. Do you want to believe in me? Do you also want to become the successor? So the first and the foremost thing to be a partner is to present the gospel in a very simple way, as that I have explained. So the first way of presenting the gospel is preaching the gospel with a sincere heart. And don't be an offense for the presentation of the gospel. You can join with people in preaching the gospel, preach the word with joy. And that's the one thing that we can do for the partnership. As a partner of the gospel, you and me can preach the gospel. That's the first thing that we can do. The second thing he says in verse 19 onwards, that we see, through your prayer, I may be, you know, even Paul, when he was preaching, we understand that, you know, the preaching is multiplied. You know, one, the people who are not with sincerity, they preached. People with sincerity, they preached. Then what did Paul do? Paul being in chain, he had one soldier coming on this side for 8 hours, another on eight hours here. Then after 8 hours comes the another two. Then after 8 hours comes another two. So what happened? Three on this side and three on this side. Six people every day. Okay? So he has got three people on one side and three people on the other side. He preached the gospel. I believe, personally, it may be my imagination too, he must have shared 2 hours each or 1 hour each to one person, the other person. They cannot say, hey, shut up your mouth. No, he's a Roman citizen. You have to listen. Of course, he's on duty. He listens to the gospel. And the gospel was preached to all the army men who came to help him to be chained to his hand. And I believe that when he writes the book of Romans, he says that a church in the fought in the Roman court. Probably Paul's imprisonment caused the gospel to be preached in the imperial court and a church is asking. So multiplication of the gospel is what it has happened because of the imprisonment. We know that the gospel cannot be imprisoned. The evangelist can be imprisoned, but gospel cannot be imprisoned. It has been multiplied. He says, be a partner of the gospel by being a carrier for the gospel. The second thing, as I said in verse 19 onwards, he says, pray for me so that there will be deliverance for me. Pray for me that there will be abundance of gospel presentation. These people wanted Paul to be released. Why? For what purpose? To have some time of fellowship with him? Is that? No. They wanted him to be a propagator of the gospel. They thought that, okay, if Paul is there, mighty preaching is possible. Evangelism will be in a larger scale. So we want Paul to be here. And when he writes here also, he said that, you know, I want to be with the Lord, but if it is God's will that it will profit you, I would love to leave a little more. And we know that he was given time that he was able to leave for a couple more years after this imprisonment. And second thing is to, as a partner of the gospel, the second thing that we can do is to pray for the expansion of the gospel, pray for the preacher, pray for the safety, pray for the well-being. I don't have the time to take you to those things. And Paul, in Ephesians, when he says that you pray so that when I open my mouth, the power of the word with its profitfulness will come. A preacher, when he preaches the gospel, you must have heard about the stories of people who kneel down and pray. When the preachers are on the pulpit, if they have to pronounce the word with power, the prayer is to be attached. And the prayer makes the power of the preaching of the gospel. And the gospel will be delivered to you and will be given to you. And the Spirit will work in the hearts of people. They will be delivered. Their children will be protected. Their families will be protected. We know that Satan targets to the people who are there. Those who go in the forefront, you know, they have always been targeted. And God's people, if they stand behind with a prayer, you are also fighting and you are also partnering in the gospel. You may be not be, I may not be, we may not be able to go to the very nook and corner of our nation or elsewhere to preach. But if you can kneel down and pray, and that's the same as preaching, and that's the same as partnering in the gospel. Can we do that? And do we do that? It's a positive. Be a preacher of the gospel. Be a summon of praise for the people who are in the church. for the expansion. That's the work of a partner. That's a second way that which you can partner. Third one, let me just mention the third one and stop it. And verse 27, he says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live a life which is worthy of the gospel. A life that, you know, he says that in the confirmation in chapter 1, when we said you are participating in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. So you need to do the defense and confirmation of the gospel, being a partner. And that's what the target. And when you do the defense and confirmation of the gospel, the third thing that he mentions over here, a couple of the things are there. I just brought only three. Be a person who lives a life that is worthy of the gospel. We need to tune our life, conduct our life, and to train our life, and to be aware of the need of being a life that is worthy of the gospel. Nothing would harm, nothing would defile the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel should be lived in our life. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And if you love one another, the world will come to know that you are the disciples. You don't need to go around and say that I'm a Christian. The world will know that you are a disciple. A life that is up to the merit of the gospel. See, gospel is a life. Gospel is not really just a word from the mouth. Gospel is life. And Paul tells that you are my purpose. So we present the gospel through our life. A life that is worthy of the gospel. I love this translation. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. You know, we have the conduct certificate. You know, in Indian context, when you go, you need to bring the conduct certificate. And we should have a conduct certificate. For every believer should have a conduct certificate. And conduct certificate should be worthy of the gospel. Worthy of the gospel. We say that, okay, you bring in our school, when we bring a conduct certificate, required. Good. That's what it's written. But a Christian supposed to bring a conduct certificate. What is that? Worthy of the gospel. Worthy of the gospel. So, through our life, if we can lead a life that is worthy of the gospel, then we are the partner of the gospel. That's what Paul is saying in this letter. Multiple other ways by which you can be a partner of the gospel is mentioned in this letter. Hope you will read this gospel, read this epistle and understand, how can I be a partner of the gospel? By being here, I'm expected to be a partner of the gospel. My power, my adequacy, my strength, my ability, my resource is the grace of God, which is given to me in the same measure that Paul has it. And Paul says, my life here is partner of it. And three things that we have seen. Being a partner, I can be a partner of the gospel. Preach it in a very simple way so that everybody will understand. And preach the word with clarity and conviction, so that the power of the gospel will be penetrated to the hearts of the people. So, preach the gospel, share the gospel, and whichever way it is. The Lord has kept you in the neighborhoods, in the workplaces, probably in the colleges, in various situations of life. It's because He wanted us to pronounce, preach the word. I want to be a successful, faithful partner. Prayer is another one. And I think the world in which we live, we are giving very less importance for prayer. We call for a convention, people are ready to come. Call for a musical night, people are ready to come. Call for a meeting, how many will come? We think that prayer is something that is less significant than any of those things. And I'm just provoking you to think about it. Don't accuse me, I'm not accusing anyone. To me, I would long to go for a musical night or probably a convention than to a prayer. If not that happening, prayer is very important. I can be a partner of the gospel by praying. By praying, kneeling down and praying. That's a partner's job. Third one that we saw is lead a life that is worthy of the gospel. Check my life every day. Make a checklist to see, can I get a conduct certificate saying that worthy of the gospel? My deeds, in my words, in my actions, in my life, can I get a word that is worthy of the gospel? Is that worthy of the gospel that I'm involved? May the Lord help us that we be the faithful partners of the gospel. Whom are we partnering? We are partnering with God. We are partnering. How are we partnering? We are partnering with grace given to us by the enablement. So we have a job description.
We have the methodology to accomplish that. We have the empowerment. May the Lord help us as God's people, as we are on this earth, and purpose for which you and me are here on this earth in this period of time is to be the faithful part of this. I hope that you and me will be able to do a good job, a great job, a job that is profitable, so that at the end we can say, like Paul said, I have no better course. And the other end, the Lord will say, good and faithful. May the Lord help us. And thank you for this time. And I appreciate all of you, and appreciate the assembly. And please prepare for me. I'll be traveling to Atlanta tomorrow morning, early morning. Then from there to Orlando. And I'll be traveling back to India on November 2. So I request you to prepare for our family and the church that I involved in Bangalore and the various ministries that the Lord has given us. Thank you so much.